scripture reading for today is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. We worry about things all the time. And when we worry about things, we tend to spin our gears. There's an ancient story about a Chinese man and his son. Now, one day, the man's horse ran away, which meant that no work could be done on his land. And all of the neighbors came over to comfort and console him in his grief. And the old man said, "How do you know that this is a bad thing?" Well, sure enough, several days later, the horse returned with a whole herd of wild horses, arrived home at this Chinese man's house. The neighbors came over to celebrate and said, "We're so happy that you've had this blessing brought upon your household." And the old man said to them, "How do you know that this is a good thing?" The next week, the man's son was training the wild horses and trying to tame them, and sure enough, he got thrown from one of the horses and broke his leg. And the neighbors came over again to comfort and console him in his grief. And the Chinese man said, "How do you know this is a bad thing?" Sure enough, the next week, the region's warlord came and collected all the able-bodied men to come and join the front. All of the neighbors came over to celebrate with the man, and the man again asked, "How do you know that this is a good thing?" Well, you see, we worry about our circumstances all the time. We wonder and get concerned about things that have happened in our past and things that are going to happen in our future. Why is it that we just can't sit back and learn to trust God in our present circumstances? Like these scriptures say today, that the lilies of the field are clothed in clothing better than we could possibly imagine. How could we worry about our own? That the ravens are fed. Why do we need to worry about where our next meal is coming from? Growing deeper in our relationship with God results in further trust in God. And we've been working on growing deeper in our relationship with God through these last few weeks of sermons. Last week we considered how a chair can be a place to experience and understand that God is carrying us, and that we can in fact rest in the love of God, and that we have the freedom to listen for God and then respond as we choose. How many of you practice listening this week? Anyone practice listening this week? Good, 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 good. Our lives have gotten quite complicated, though. And it's really clear that in the complexity of life, it's helpful for us if we have and develop a rule of life that will help facilitate our relationship with God so that we can develop the trust that we have in God. Now, how many of you know what a rule of life is? What is a rule of life comes from ancient monastic practices. It was the rhythm of what the ancient monks practiced in the monastery. They showed as they were practicing these particular disciplines what it meant to grow in relationship with God and to grow in their community life together as well. Now, we don't have to be monks to incorporate elements of a rule into our day so that we can grow deeper in relationship with God. We've talked so far this summer about having a grateful heart and how remembering what we are thankful for helps us to grow deeper in relationship with God. We've taken this focus on prayer and on not just asking and interceding for on behalf of others, but also listening for God and attending to God's presence in our midst. Those are beginnings of developing a rule in life. Well, other aspects of a rule of life are actually, you can find some printed on your bulletin. I've lost mine right now, but on the very back of the bulletin, each of those sermons in August will cover another element of a rule of life and how it is to grow in practicing those rules. Stability, conversion of life, Sabbath and servanthood. Those are all parts of the Benedictine way of life. So today we're considering simplicity. How do we respond to our circumstances with simplicity, with a simple trust that all of our needs are cared for and will be cared for? This morning you were given a special card with colors on it. Do you all have one of those when you came in today? Let's make sure, if you don't have one, hold your hand up, and I'm going to ask the usher and usher to bring those forward. Here, I've got a couple. Can you? And I'm going to pass, Katie's going to pass out these little squares here, and I want you to take one of these little squares. You'll get this soon. It's a sticker, actually. Okay, does everyone get a card? Okay, you're going to take your little square and put it on your hand like this. Can everyone see my hand? You're going to put the little square that Katie's passing out is a sticker, and you're just going to stick it on your hand just like that. You need a card? Did you not get a card? There you go, and the little stickers are coming forward. Are there some more cards back there, George? Did we run out of cards? Oh. Okay, all right. Here, who else needed one? Here, pass one down there. And okay, very good. So that everyone has one. There you go. You stick them on your hand right here. Okay, you got one? Here, there's some more coming back. Okay. Okay, as those are being passed out, as you put those on your hand, I want you to consider a few things about where you are right now in your circumstances. And I want you to think about the things that are weighing heavy on your mind, the difficulties that you are facing, the issues that you need to deal with, and just keep those at the forefront of your mind as I'm talking. Take your hands, does everyone have a sticker on their hand just yet? Take your hands, and I want you to clench your hands just as hard as you can, and hold on to your hands tight, tight, tight. And as you feel the tension grow in your hands, you will also feel the tension that grows in your arms. And that tension, keep holding on as tight as you can, that tension moves up into your shoulders and begins interrupting and causing lots of pain, right? And now open your hands and let your hands relax. And you can feel the warmth and the blood flow back into your hands. When we are living lives of deep concern, we get worried and we try to hold on to things very, very tightly. And when we're holding on to things so tightly, we can't let go and open and receive the grace that God has to offer us. A simple trust and understanding that no matter what our circumstances are, God is going to be with us. God is going to be for us in those circumstances. These little dots will change color in accordance with how well you are able to relax and release and trust God in your current circumstances. Does anyone have one that's green? And what color are your dots right now? Okay, so we've got some green, we've got some blue, and anyone's black? Look at mine's black. I don't know what that says. As you learn to relax and trust, this actually will pick up the body temperature and the blood flow. It will pick up your ability to let go and relax and let God. And so you want to work toward that little dot becoming blue. Blues means that you are lifting up and offering that trust to God. I would invite that when you are done with that little sticker on your hand today, that you can take it off, peel it off, and put it on the little card. There's a little place to keep it on the top of that card, and you can take it to your desk at work or leave it at home so that you can check in and see how well you are trusting, how well you are able to understand that God's providing for you in your circumstances. We all want a simpler life, right? We all want to be able to let go of those things that hold us back. We want to grow in a simpler life. We want to grow in our trust in God. Henry David Thoreau, in 1845, went to Walden Pond, and that's exactly what he was yearning for. He was yearning for a simpler life. And he writes, "I went to the woods because I wished to live more deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and to see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not that when I came to die, discover that I hadn't lived at all." So Thoreau went to the woods in order to understand what the essential things of life were about for him, and how he could simply trust in the rhythm and cycle, learning from nature, learning from creation. I think today creation offers us a lot. We can understand and learn and grow a lot in our trust in God if we are watchful in the way that creation behaves and what creation and what nature expresses to us. Just think about the revolving of the seasons, right? There is a time in nature when things begin blooming and growing and new life comes forth. And then there's a time where everything flowers and fruits and bears a large harvest. Then we come to the time of year when there's things that die off and fall to the ground and go below ground, and we don't see them anymore. And there's a long period of just barrenness in our world before that new life begins to come forth again. This kind of cycle helps us to trust in a God who is with us through all of those seasons. There is a wildness and an unpredictability to life. A wildness and an unpredictability to life. But God is there with us in all of it. One of the amazing things that I learned from nature and the way that nature can reflect an opportunity for me to grow in my trust in God was I had the opportunity to see Arctic terns in their nesting place. Arctic terns live down in the Antarctic, and they fly thousands of miles up to the coast of Scotland and land on these islands in Scotland to nest. When they nest, when an Arctic tern nests, they build a flat little nest on the ground right where people walk. They will build their nest in the middle of a pathway, and that's just how they do it. They have a nest that is fully exposed and vulnerable. And yet, when the Arctic tern lays their eggs, if a person walks past that nest, they will fly over that person and dive bomb them so that they can protect that egg. They will do whatever they need to protect that egg. And I had the opportunity to walk by some of those nests, and you kind of have to hold your hands like this and keep moving them so the birds will come down and hit your hands instead of your head. That's how God protects new life coming into our world. Don't you understand? God watches over us in that same way. And in the most vulnerable of places where new life is getting ready to come forth is where God will work the hardest to protect that new life and to ensure that it arrives and is offered to the world. And so we can sit back with a simplicity and a trust, grow in our understanding, and sometimes grow in our understanding by not just learning from scriptural texts, not just learning from other people, but we can also watch nature and watch what happens in nature so that we can grow in our trust and in our approach to living. Here's the thing. If God is going to go to the extremes of feeding the ravens and of clothing the lilies in beautiful clothing, how much more is God going to care for us? In the Bible, throughout the Bible, the message that is delivered most often by the prophets, by the angelic messengers, and by Jesus Christ, whose words we've heard today, are do not worry. Do not be afraid. It's repeated over and over and over again that we can practice a trust that will offer us a simplicity of living so that we can just deal with the essential things of life, that we can understand that every moment of our day is precious in the richness of the moment, that in the richness of this moment, everything is being provided for. That rather than being preoccupied with what it was we lost yesterday or what it is we fear about tomorrow, that we can simply open up ourselves to everything that's being provided right here and right now. The more the human soul learns to love, the more the human soul longs for God, and the more that it hopes for God, and the more that it finds God. God's purpose will not leave you wanting, but will fulfill every desire of your heart. When the soul is in a place that is fearful, when a soul is feeling overwhelmed and crushed, God is there to nurture and sustain our faith, to revive us in faith. The new life comes back again. And that is where the Lord's Supper comes in. Everything is provided at this table. Everything is provided that we need through the most ordinary of gifts, through bread and through wine. And the presence of Christ is made real at this table through these gifts. It is here that we encounter the living Christ through the ordinariness of bread, bread that is broken for our sakes, and for cup, the cup that pours out salvation upon our lives. It is a blessing that we have this table to come to nurture and sustain us in the faith and in hope. God's love is available in all of its fullness through this meal. So I invite you today, as we come forward for communion, to open yourselves to the reality of the fullness of love that is here at this table right now, today. God's faithfulness revives our soul through simple and ordinary means.